the facilitator said, does anyone want to share their why as to why they're here right now? And this was leading up to the end of the training for the courses that we had done. And then I looked around, no one was putting their hands up. And I was like, I'm going to put my hand up. And then I just chucked it up. And then they were like, oh, mean shot, bro. And then told them that story there. And then from that point, there was a person there kind of like scouting out new youth workers. And then, came and approached me and pretty much offered me a job like that. And I was just like, holy hecka. Wow. Like, bro, it was crazy. And then even like before that, I went to Plant-Based Māori's Growth Gains workshops down in Whakatane the year before Bali. And my second goal on that sheet that I put down on our goal setting session was to become a youth worker. And I was just out of it, bro, how it all started to align. And then, it was a blessing that I booked all of that stuff for the UK and had to cancel it. I lost a bunch of money, but bro, could not care less.
Hello and welcome to The Human Now, where we're discussing ideas around what it means to be in the state of time and, more importantly, making positivity louder. I just want to welcome you back, whether it's your first time here. I hope you get something positive out of the session. And if you're coming back, then, you know, welcome back and thank you for coming back to lift the vibration with us. Before I introduce today's guest, let's just take a little bit of time out for you, whether you're watching, whether you're listening. I just want you to stop what you're doing, unless you're driving a car, and let's just close our eyes and catch our breath, bring our attention, focus, and energy to now. So let's just take three big breaths and just enjoy this time. So let's go. Breathing in. And breathing out. Cool. So let's just bring whatever we're thinking about, whatever we're stressing about, let's just put it to the side and bring our energy and focus to now. Breathing in. Breathing out. Last one, breathing in. And breathing out. So I hope that if there's anything that you've done today, that anything positive that you've done, it's this little exercise where you've just taken a little moment out for yourself, done something positive for yourself, because, you know, we run around and we get so busy attending to everyone else and that we forget about our own well-being and who we are and what we need. So I hope this little break was a little positive light in your day. Cool. Let's get on with it. So today's guests, I'm so excited to introduce who they are. They are the hosts of the Up to Aotearoa podcast. And what they are about is they're about lifting the vibration of positivity through conversation and connectivity, increasing the well-being and the energy in their community. And I think they do this also really well through Te Ao Māori, the world of Māori well-being as well, and really connecting into the spirit that Wairua as well, and bringing that out of a person to create more a positive community. What they also do is they just have some mean yarns online. They've got some pretty good dance moves as well, from what I've seen. And they also just enjoy, like I'm sure any Kiwi, the good old beach as well, you know, and just hanging and enjoying the fresh air, some good tunes, and the boot of a car. So I want to welcome Jack and Morgan from Up to Aotearoa podcast. Hey guys.
Kia ora.
Kia ora, my bro. How's it going?
What an intro.
I'm good. I'm so good. I'm so pumped that, you know, we're here and we're able to connect online. You know, like we really wanted to see each other in person and have you guys in the studio, you know, because the energy is different. But like, I can already feel like the energy that we're feeling through here is just, if not on the same level. So I just want to say thank you so much for, you know, taking your time out to come here and join us and help us lift that vibration.
Yeah, bro. Harder, of course. And we love it too, eh? Like shot for the intro, bro. That was real unexpected and just like gave us the warm fuzzies nice and early this morning. Bro, it's honestly like an honor for us to come on, and yeah, we're super pumped for this and super excited. So,
The first podcast we've been guests on,
yeah.
So this is exciting for us. Yeah,
man.
Oh, exciting, man. No, definitely. I think it's cool to like welcome you guys into the family, and hopefully we can, you know, keep getting you guys coming on here and just doing what we love doing, you know, which is lifting that vibration.
For sure, bro. Hard out. And it will be mean for you. Once these restrictions go, bro, it'll be cool to link up and then, do one in your studio and come around, do one in ours as well. So
our studio, our house.
Our lounge.
Yeah, man. Of course. Of course. 100%.
Yeah, that'll be dope, bro.
Before we get into the discussion and everything, there's always a question we always start with in the podcast. So are you guys folders or scrunchers?
Ooh. Like a piece of paper?
I'm thinking of toilet paper.
Oh, actually,
I'm a scruncher. I don't got time to fold.
Scrunch.
Yeah.
Hey.
I know it's such an age-old discussion. It really divides people. But yeah, I reckon I'm a scruncher if I think about it. Lazy.
Yeah, I kind of lean towards like probably a fold.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why, but when you asked that question straight away, what I imagined myself doing was like, when I've got a piece of paper and I need to put it aside, like on my desk or something, I'll always just, but I guess you wouldn't really scrunch up any important
documents.
But I mean, like, tissue paper is pretty important, you know, plays like a pretty important role in the day-to-day life.
Bro, harder. And you got to take into account, like, what ply is that toilet paper, bro? Like,
exactly,
man. You got to factor in all the stuff.
Hey, guys, I'm going to change my life decisions now. At least you can guessing it.
You know, if you scrunch and just one wrong move, you know, you've just...
That's like going to diminish your mana.
Oh man, so do you guys kind of see like that also working out in terms of your relationship and how you guys are as people in your relationship? You know, like is that kind of based on like who you guys are as people? Like, do you guys find that?
Of scrunching, I'm messy in terms of I will just, if I'm like putting on clothes, I'll just chuck wherever they are. I'll just chuck it on the floor just because out of ease, but then I'll go back and do like a really thorough clean. Not that that relates to scrunching. Scrunching and folding. But yeah, that's sort of like the way I live my life is just kind of like do it, get it done, and then later on come back and be like, okay, now we're going to do a really thorough clean, start from the beginning and then try it out again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think for me, because I was sort of just thinking like, actually now, when you started talking about like clothes and all that, and I'm the worst, bro. Like, I've legit got a pile right by my drawers that I haven't put away since like, what is it, Saturday today, probably Wednesday. Like, I've just been lazy. But I think for me, maybe putting it as like organized chaos.
I vibe with that. Yeah,
like organized chaos, I think, because I was even imagining like what my work desk looked like. And it's like, it's organized to me, but to anybody else, they'd be like, bro, where are you going to find what, you know, or if they needed something? But I think that'd be me, man.
Yeah, I'm pretty similar to you guys, where like in my room, if I've got like the washing or like, you know, you still want to wear a couple of clothes throughout the week.
Yeah.
There's just this like couch in the room. So everything just gets offloaded onto that.
Yeah.
And
same
with you guys. Like, I know exactly where everything is, even though it looks like chaos.
Yeah.
But in terms of like how I do like to operate, generally I do like to keep things tidy and clean.
Yeah.
Because I do find like, when I often find like what the environment that I'm in is often like a reflection of like what's happening in my mind.
100%.
Yo.
Yeah.
If I'm having like a pretty stressful week or it's pretty full on, you know, and things are just racing in my head and I don't kind of have control of things all the time, then like my room's just a complete mess. And I'm like, and that's like the first tell for me is like, oh yeah, you got to kind of just fix it. If I find if I clean up my room and I fix that up, then while I'm doing that, I'm able to sort out what's happening in my head as well.
Massive on that. Cause if the house is a mess, I'm a mess. Like, it's kind of just it just gets too much. And then I feel that sense of relief, sort of what you're talking about. Once I clean it, I'm like, okay, now that I've sorted out my environment, now it's time to work on my brain stuff going on, you know? But yeah, it has a huge impact on me. Not so much you.
Yeah, I don't know if it would have a big one, but like I definitely, like this lockdown, I've definitely seen the value in keeping your space, you know, tidy. Yeah. You know, that's your space where, I mean, the lounge, the house is like a sacred space to everyone who like occupies it. So I think one thing I've noticed this lockdown is by cleaning it thoroughly and like frequently, I can sort of run my brain more efficiently. It's more aligned almost. Mm. And then especially when you put that on top of some mean as weather, it's like, damn, we're winning. You know what I mean?
The energy just flows into the space.
Totally. Totally. And I mean, if I even think back now, because we've been living together for nearly a year now. Mm. And so before that, when I was living at my last flat, it was just me and another bro. But that place was a pigsty. Like, that was actually...
There was no scrunching or folding because there was no toilet paper available at any time.
Bro, it was
straight
ugly.
Natural.
Yeah, bro, all day. Just got one of those bum guns, you know, like from Windows. Yeah. Nah. That place was chaotic. And I think I now definitely see, and you've definitely like helped me become more like onto it with that, for sure. Good balance. Mm.
Who's the boss in the relationship?
Ooh.
Is there a boss?
I think we're pretty good at sort of like
different areas, different things, I think.
I'd say you jump into like a boss role and like there will be certain things that we do where you'll jump into the boss role and then maybe I'll jump into the boss role for certain things.
Yeah, I think we kind of work on our strengths, like even in terms of like podcasting and stuff like that. I don't do any of the technical stuff. That's all up to Jack, kind of like, you know, he's the one that pushes it all through. But then even in terms of parenting and stuff, because I've got a little 4-year-old, so if I'm in mum mode, I'm in mum mode, and it's kind of like during that time that he's awake, Jack also falls under that having to do what mum says sort of thing. So I think I can kind of take control in that aspect, but then we sort of balance it out with other things. Yeah.
Hard. Because I know that when Morgan's in like hard out mum mode and it's like 7 o'clock nearing bedtime for the little fella, I know that if I just say something I shouldn't or like step over a line, like I'm gonna be in trouble too. So I think we do a pretty good balance, eh? Fully like a strength based kind of approach for ourselves and our relationship.
Mm. And what is it kind of like for you guys? Like, you guys are quite young, you know, and do you guys think it's quite normal to be like looking after a child at this age and like trying to live your life and your desires? Like, how does all that kind of play into everything?
Yeah. Well, I'm not actually as young as I look. I'm actually 28 and Jack's 22. So we've got an age difference there as well to just add a little more to the plate. And so when I had my son, so he's 4 now, I felt that massive change because I was the sort of person that liked to do my own thing, kind of just play life by ear and just, you know, go with the flow and live in the present moment sort of thing. And then having a child changes that. You've got to kind of pre-plan stuff, and I wasn't a planner. So that had a massive shift there. But I feel like the older he's getting, the more it's just kind of working for us now. Like at the start, it was really hard. Now it's kind of like some of our friends are having kids, which is nice. It kind of eases it up a little bit because you're like, okay, cool. Everyone's a lot more open to doing family sort of activities. And then we're lucky enough that he goes to his dad's on the weekends. So we still get that, you know, time to ourselves and time to do what we want to do during that space, which we're super like grateful for.
Hard out.
Being 22-year-old and playing into that stepdad role.
Yeah. I mean,
what's that like?
Yeah, it's good, bro. I love it, eh? Like, it's been a journey for sure. And I mean, for me, I'm kind of used to having like young kids around because I'm the oldest of 4, and we've got quite big age gaps. So I've got 2 younger sisters and a younger brother. And so my younger brother, he's 7 at the moment. And I'm 22, so like 15 years age gap between us.
Big gap, yeah.
Yeah, and even with like my first sister, when she was born, I was 9 years old. So I was kind of like, I've been used to having young kids around, and I sort of understand what needs to be done and all that. And I used to help mum out, help dad out, and, you know, do all of that sort of stuff with the kids and stuff too. So for me, it was definitely like a big call, because I knew that making my commitment to Morgan meant making a commitment to Lucas as well. And
yeah.
And to me, yeah, I definitely put a bit of thought into it, but it was actually kind of easy once I jumped into it, because I look at it from a standpoint of like, I've got an opportunity right now to be a real positive male role model in Lucas's life. And, you know, that's like an honor to me. And so, yeah, I don't want to take that for granted. So I've been trying to, yeah, progressively over the last sort of two years, been trying to really to fulfill that stepdad role, but then also conscious around like, don't want to like overstep the mark too, because you know, that he's got his dad and my parents split up when I was four, so I understand the mixed families aspect too. So it's been, I love it, bro. Like, and especially now he's four and he's really starting to fit into his personality. And like, even yesterday we did a little podcast together. It was like half an hour long, just playing.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, I watched that.
Oh, sure. Yo,
so I know, I was jealous because I was on a work meeting and then I came out and they both got the headphones on and they're playing Play-Doh and talking to the mic. So I was like, this looks fun. I want to be in here, not in there.
Yeah.
So let's go, Lego.
Yeah. Lego, let's go hard. So yeah, bro, but yeah, I love it, Tate. Like, it's a real cool thing to, well, not thing, but like, it's really cool to be a part of and be a part of the process.
Yeah. Was there kind of like, you know, like not necessarily a stigma to like overcome, but like, you know, like just unlearning a lot of things where, you know, like when we watch like movies and things like that, they show like the happy family, the mum and the dad, and then, you know, like everything, but like in real life is never like that, you know, and dynamics change, families change. Like, did that kind of ever play, or like, how did you guys like overcome that, or how did you go about that?
Yeah, I think for that, we're pretty lucky in terms of like, even being in 2021, you're not the only, you know, you're not the only single mum out there that's got, you know, because it does seem to be getting more and more common, which I think can be seen instead of seeing in like a negative light, like, oh, that's a broken family and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like that, even the term broken family just sounds horrible. Like I hate using that. I'm just like, it's not a broken family at all. It just means we've got more family members and, you know, more connections for Lucas to make. And the fact that he's still like goes to his dad's house and they've got a family there. They've got kids there as well. So it's like, he gets to best of both worlds. He gets to see his dad and their family, you know, and then come here and spend time with us. It's just like, I see that as more of like, oh, that's a cool thing that we're all able to get along. You know, he's got more people in his life, and it's kind of like that stereotype of, you know, like the nuclear family sort of thing. It's just like, nah, I'm pretty happy with how it's going now.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't really change it for anything. But yeah, you're right, man. Like, in terms of movies and all that sort of stuff, it definitely plays into it. And kind of a lot of movies put the step parent into like a really negative role. They're sort of like, oh, it's an evil stepmother. And that's from like childhood, you know, like stories and stuff.
Fairy tales.
So it's just like, and that's kind of all it is. It's a fairy tale. Like, if, you know, the person that's in that step role is a good person, then, man, that's one more person that your child gets to meet and hang out with and, you know, get influence from in such a positive way. So yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on it.
Hard. And I think to add on, like, for us, one thing that we really love is taking sort of like a te ao Māori approach into raising a young child, you know? And so typically, so we live on the same property as Morgan's parents. And so it's awesome. Cool. Like Luke's can literally come chill with us for an hour and then he's like, okay, I'm bored here. I'm going to go hang out with my nanny, and goes over to his nannies and things like that. And so, you know, back in the day, like, Māori kids were raised by like the birth mother as well as the aunties as well as the grandparents. And so, like,
in the village, right?
Bro, hard out. Like, you know, that's like they're saying, it takes a village. What is the saying? It takes a village,
to raise a child.
So I think it's really awesome, and it's really special that he's got all these different people in his life. And in terms of like the stigma, bro, just going back to your question around the stigma, like, for me, I think I've been really blessed with like really cool mates that are just super supportive. And I've got a bro at the moment who is expecting, I think at the end of the year. And so, you know, we're kind of in it together, like supporting each other. And you know, that's really beautiful. And it definitely makes it easier. Like, makes the process easier. My mum, my dad, and that too, they're super supportive. So even when I ask them questions like, oh, should I maybe be doing this? And they'll be like, nah, maybe try this approach, you know? So,
Working together.
Yeah, working together for sure. And
cool. Yeah, no, because like, I can totally understand what you guys are saying as well. Like, in the Indian community and context as well, like everyone back in the day, and even still like right now, in the, like when you go to like any of the villages in India, the doors are always open and people are going through different houses and, you know, hanging out on the porch, and everyone takes care of everyone's child, you know? And like when you're in such big extended families as well, like someone else's child is just your child. And you're all part of this bigger group. And then like on the other side, like when you flip it and you've moved into this like Western context, you know, and all of a sudden it becomes about reputation. When like relationships break and parents divorce and, you know, and then that's where that stigma comes in, where it's like, oh, you guys are like not sticking to the normal.
Not sticking.
You can make it work. But people forget people are like different.
Well,
people are always changing.
Like with me and Lucas's dad, like we get along great and we did throughout our relationship and stuff. Everything was fine. We just weren't right for each other. But it's like a lot of people did put that pressure on, like, stay together for the sake of the child. And I'm like, no, for the sake of the child, we're not going to stay together, you know, because neither of us are happy. I don't want to raise, you know, our child in an unhappy relationship. And I don't want him to think that he has to stay with someone just because of like societal views or whatever. And so we made that conscious decision. And then once we made that decision, everyone kind of laid off. It's like, before we made that decision, they were all the heat was on us. Like, stay together.
Everyone's
stay
got
together.
An opinion, eh?
Honestly, try being pregnant. Everyone's got an opinion. Man, it's just like, I don't know, you're wearing a sign saying, like, tell me what you think I should be doing right now, because it's insane. But, yeah, and it's worked out for the best. Like, even in terms of Jack's whānau, like, you know, now Lucas has another grandma and, you know, another grandfather, and it's just the more the merrier, I reckon. And he loves it. He gets to play with Jack's little sister, who's, what is she, turning 13 soon?
She's 13.
Who loves kids, wants to carry him everywhere, that sort of stuff. So, it all works out really well.
Oh, sweet. And so, like, how has this, like, because from what I get is that you guys love creating this like positive environment, having these positive conversations, you know, and your openness for family and connection. How did you guys, because you guys are youth workers, how did you guys want to become youth workers?
You can start us off.
Should I start
off?
Okay, cool. So for me, bro, it was interesting, eh? So I'm going to take us back. Going to go do a little story time.
Oh, don't cut us.
Cool. All right, here we go. Everyone get comfy, get cozy.
Yeah, get your popcorn. I'll take us back to 2018. Yeah, 2018. I was meant to be going off to the UK. I was going to move to the UK because at the time I was working as a barista and just started the process of learning how to roast coffee at a coffee roastery I was at on the shore. And so this was my first job out of school, like first full-time job out of school.
Yeah, sure, boy.
Bro, no. Nah. Well, I went to a school on. Yeah, on I guess shore. I am a shore boy. I hate to admit it, but you know, I got to be that positive example for Luke. Yes, I am a shore boy. Nah. So I was working over there, and I was kind of like, nah, I'm keen to go do some traveling and things like that. And I had a mate that was going to the UK as well, and he said, "Bro, come with me." And I was like, "Fuck, awesome." Was all good to swear?
You be 100% you,
man. As, bro. Okay, cool.
You be 100% who you are and you do what you do.
Nah, sweet, bro. Shot. Okay, cool. So me and my mate, we organized our flights, got it all sorted, bro. Got my visa sussed, all of that. And then it was, I think it was about April. It was March. And the flight was booked for September. And so I had a little bit of spare play money at the time. And I was sort of like, to my other best mate, I was like, bro, do you want to go to Bali? Because I went to Bali the year before. And I was like, bro, let's go. But it was with the rents. And so I was like, all right, let's go, just us. And then he was like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, all right, let's do it. And it was like Sunday night that we spoke about it. And then by Monday afternoon, our flights were booked for Bali. So anyways, we flew to Bali. We were over there for a month, and then in the last week I was coming back from the Gili Islands going back to Bali, and on this boat ride, bro, I just had this, like, it was real weird. It was kind of like, to me it felt quite like spiritual, in the sense that I was on this boat ride, bro, and I just had this epiphany, like, out of nowhere. Yeah. I just kind of saw these things in my mind's eye just telling me, like, nah, bro, you're not going to the UK. Like, you're not meant to be going there.
Oh,
like,
wow.
These big, yeah, like, I could, like, see crosses, like, in my mind's eye and all this stuff, bro. And I was like, what the hell? And I just had this overwhelming feeling of my ancestors from my, like, Māori side were, like, calling. It's almost as if I could hear them chanting for me to come home. And I'm getting goosey right now, even just reflecting back on it. And bro, and I was like, what the, this is just crazy. And so had this massive epiphany of just, nah, you can't go, and cancel everything. So we got back to Bali, enjoyed our last week. And then as soon as I got home, bro, I just opened my laptop, visa cancel, everything, flights cancel. I called my bro. I said, gee, I can't come anymore. Like, I'm not meant to be going. And I don't know what, like, I don't know where I'm going to go from here, but I know, I knew that I just needed to stay in Aotearoa. And so anyways, I stayed in Aotearoa. And then I started to think about, like, I had this real strong desire, so kind of that same sense of, like, the calling that I had in Bali to endeavor in some sort of, like, counseling work or humanitarian sort of helping, voluntary work. So yeah, and then that led me to going and doing personal development courses, and then, like, basic youth and community counseling courses. And then as I was going through that process, we were at this orientation day for all of the workshops that were happening around Auckland at the time. There was, like, 70 of us. And then we were in this room, and then the facilitator said, does anyone want to share their why as to why they're here right now? And this was leading up to the end of the training for the courses that we had done. And then I looked around, no one was putting their hands up. And I was like, I'm going to put my hand up. And then I just chucked it up. And then they were like, oh, mean shot, bro. And then told them that story there. And then from that point, there was a person there kind of, like, scouting out new youth workers. And then, came and approached me and pretty much offered me a job like that. And I was just like, holy heck. Wow. Like, bro, it was crazy. And then even, like, before that, I went to Plant-Based Māori's Growth Gains workshops down in Whakatane the year before Bali. And my second goal on that sheet that I put down on our goal setting session was to become a youth worker. And I was just out of it, bro, how it all started to align. And then, it was a blessing that I booked all of that stuff for the UK and had to cancel it. I lost a bunch of money, but, bro, could not care less, because that's really led me to the point I am today. Because if I went to the UK, bro, I wouldn't be here doing this with you and with my darling, and I wouldn't be being a youth worker doing this up to stuff as well. So sorry if that was a bit long.
No, man, but that was just the incredible about, like, the power of the universe, you know,
bro, legit.
Where we're almost like instruments getting, like, the universe or that energy, whatever is out there, is like directing us, you know, and if we just like surrender to it and just go with the flow, it's beautiful.
Yeah. And I don't know what it was, bro, that kind of, because I fully get, now reflecting on it, I do get a sense that I was fully surrendered at the time to possibilities, you know, like I was fully open to receiving whatever I was meant to receive. And I think I just, maybe I was subconsciously surrendering, and it felt like I just got like a instant download, bro, that got processed in like a second and just gave me all of that. And it was just like, what the heck? So that's my story to becoming a youth worker, bro. And then that was what's got me on this waka.
Sweet. And how about you, Morgan?
My story is not as beautiful as Jack's story. It's a story in itself, so it's all good. So once I left school, so I didn't do year 13, I did like a week of it, and then I was like, what am I doing here? This is just ridiculous.
It's actually a waste of time, man. I sat in year 13 and I was like, man, I could just be going to university right now, you know?
That's the thing.
I could just be like, getting on with life.
Yeah, what am I doing here? And then I was gutted though because I missed our school ball. So I've never been to a school ball. So I'm still trying to hustle my way into one as like a teacher. I'm like, surely I could come in. But yeah, so I left school. I was like, nah, and then said goodbye to my friends. And then the next day I was enrolled in an early childhood course because I was like, cool, I want to be an early childhood teacher. Didn't want to be an early childhood teacher. It was kind of just the only thing available at the time. And I thought I wanted to do it. I think I had mates and stuff doing it. And so I was like, oh, because I'm someone that loves to study. So my student loan is through the roof, but all the knowledge that I've got from it, I'm like, that makes it worth it. So I went and studied that and then ended up being like, oh, no, I don't want to do this anymore. I think I did my certificate. And then went and just worked and all sorts of like jobs that you do when you're younger, like in stuff like retail and all hospital and stuff. And then I was like, actually, no, that's not what I want to do. I want to be a beauty and spa therapist, which just again came out of the blue. And I was like, okay, let's give it a go. And then so I did that for a year and a half and I was really into the massage side of things. Didn't like the waxing, didn't like the makeup or anything like that. But I was like, I really want to do massage. And then I was like, oh, okay, I want to become a physio now. And so I was like, okay, I'll start off by doing like a sports massage course. So I did that for a bit in like night classes. And then I was like, no, I ended up not wanting to do that either. I changed my mind again, which I think is a good thing. And then that's when I got pregnant with Lucas. And then during that time where I was on maternity leave, I was kind of just looking for something to do. And I was like, what do I know I want to study something, but what is it that I actually want to, you know, like I'm kind of sick of bouncing around. I want to find something a little bit more consistent. And then I thought back and I was like, man, I've always wanted to be either a high school teacher or a school counselor because my experience with school counselors growing up has not been a good one. Like I was always disappointed by the support that was given through school counselors. And I can see what a massive part they are in being a young person. And you spend so much time at school, they're kind of your go-to person that everyone sends you to. And I hadn't had a good experience. So that's when I started Googling away and I was like, what can I do? And then at Unitech, I found a Bachelor of Health and Social Development majoring in youth work, which they don't run anymore, which is super sad because it was a life-changing. I never thought uni could actually change my life. Before that, I wasn't into te ao Māori at all. I was completely disconnected from that side of me. If anything, I felt like I felt like ashamed about being Māori and I tried to kind of distance myself from it. But then going to uni and learning more about it and having the opportunity to like even having my tutors and stuff, like, you know, being such influential people in my life. And that was the best study I've ever done because I came out of it not just with the skills in order to become a youth worker, but just learning more about my identity, learning more about myself. It was kind of like I enjoyed going to uni. I did really well because I was so interested in it. And then from there, I started a placement where we work now. And I just called up and I said, hey, I'll volunteer. I want to work as a youth worker. And then I think I was only meant to come in like 2 days a week, but I ended up just hanging around the office heap. So I was like, if I just stick in here, they're going to have to hire me. And then so I just started shadowing everyone, like coming into schools and stuff with them and just trying to learn as much as I could within that. And then, in due time, they were suddenly like, here, you can have a casual contract. I was like, cool. And then they're like, here, you can have a part-time one. I was like, cool. And then finally they were like, here, you can have a full-time one. I was like, man, they're like, but it's not permanent. And then recently I got on a permanent contract. I've really put in the mahi to like get to where I am now. And then, studied my bachelor's for like 3 years, graduated from that. And then, using those skills today, which is perfect job for me. Wouldn't change it. Glad I tried out other things as well. Don't I highly recommend that to people. We work with a lot of young people in schools and they get pressured with what do you want to do when you're older? And they're like, I don't know. I'm like, you don't need to know, just try out different stuff. Yes, your student loan will go up, but you can pay that back over time. Just, see what you want to do and try it that way. So,
That's me. I think that is just, that's an incredible story as well. You know, like to not know, you know, can bring someone down quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, especially when everyone else around them is like, this is what I want to do. And they go full 100, you know, and everyone, and like, it's only human to like compare, right? And so everyone's here, but you're still down here, and then you restart, you're restarting, you're restarting. And on top of that, you're pregnant as well, you know, and like, that's also a task to take on.
Yeah.
But that's pretty brave, man. Like,
and everyone was working as well. Like, that's the, everyone was during that time, because I did start studying at a sort of, I guess, later age than some people would. Like, most people could kind of go out of school and start studying straight away. But since I came back and did my youth degree later on, it was like everyone around me had money. Everyone around me was working full-time jobs and offices and whatever. And I was still studying. And it's like, cool that I got the holidays and the breaks and stuff, but that's on like a student allowance sort of thing. Had to rely on, you know, government benefits and things like that in order to support myself and my child. Like, luckily I've got family that are really supportive, but you still can't live on nothing. So yeah, I kind of felt like I hustled my way up to where I am now, and now I don't want to leave. Keep me up there. Yeah.
But I think one thing as well, like, oh, sorry, bro.
No, go ahead.
I think one thing as well, like, that stands out for me, when you tell that story, is like, I think that like when you were saying, like when both of you were saying, you know, it can be, someone can feel down when they're not too sure what they're up to, if all their other bros are like, yo, gee, I'm doing law, like I got the sus, I'm in, you know, it's all good. I think one thing that stood out for me is that it sounds like you had fun along the process. And that's one thing that I want to like kind of reiterate on here, is like, I kind of went into that, even the coffee roasting space, like I just knew, I think I left school like week 8 of year 13 in term 1. Wow. And then that for me was like, yeah, same feeling, just wasn't like keen and didn't feel aligned to school anymore, and just went into like the coffee space. I knew I kind of liked coffee, so I was like, sweet, I'm just gonna chuck myself out there. And I think I just sort of surrendered to that process, and I really enjoyed doing the process of figuring out. So I kind of wanted just to reiterate that, because I think that's something that a lot of, but I need to get reminded of sometimes. So maybe there will be others that could find some value and just, yeah, remember to enjoy the process. Like, the end result isn't always like the treat, or isn't always the best part. The best part might be figuring out what you're up to.
And like, I definitely appreciate, you know, like that you guys shared your journey. You know, because for me, I've only known like one way, which is the way that I've gone about doing things, you know. And it's only when you like hear stories from other people that you know that like you can still end up at the same place. It's just you've taken a different path, you know. Like, for me, ever since I was, let's say, probably around like year 6, I knew I wanted to be an architect, you know. And so right through intermediate to high school, I've always done things like tech and art, you know, and like, I liked science and maths because I knew that that's what I like doing. And even through all of high school, I took graphics and just was looking at, okay, what do I need to do to get into like uni and all that? And then getting into uni was like an easy decision about what I wanted to do, you know. And so like, here we've got three stories, you know, where I know what I want to do, I'm doing it. Morgan's gone on and she's tried a whole bunch of things, you know, and Jack has gone and left school and gone into coffee roasting, and, you know, now he's youth working, and we've all ended up like at the same place.
That's so cool.
So my learning from that is like, you just have to try. Even if you don't know, just try. And we put so much time, or we think time is precious, but like taking out like, and it takes like maybe about 6 months, 3 months to actually see if you like or you don't like something. You know, like Jack, you're saying you left with school within like, was it 8 weeks you said? You know, like you knew it wasn't for you. So it's like, yeah, sweet, I'm out of here, you know. Whereas like, even though I didn't like it, I was like, sweet, I'm staying, here, you know. But now that I think about it, if I was speaking to someone else who was in the same position, they knew exactly what they wanted to do, Mm. I'd be like, why are you wasting your time here? You know, like, but like the other thing was, like, even though I didn't really like the schoolwork, I had such a good time with my friends.
Yeah.
You know, and like that, the way you can communicate with your teachers because it's your last year and kicked back. Yeah. You know, that you can just talk smack to them and it's all good.
Did you get to go to the ball?
Yeah. Yeah. Went to the ball. Went on. We had like a mean as school camp in the first year as well. So we started the year off on a high, and just the relationships that you form with the teachers as well. Mm. And like the crew that's around you. Cause the school that I went to was like on a campus. Oh. Like primary, intermediate, and grammar all in the same.
Cool.
Wow.
Like campus. So, like most of these people you kind of grow up with and you move through the schools, and then just to finish everything, you know, at the end.
Mm.
And that was kind of cool. And then you're like, man, I'm never seeing these people ever again.
and
you're like back to noob, you know, your first year of uni. You're like, oh yeah, there's like adults here.
Back to like being a third age.
And so I think that's where like Morgan's story comes into this, where it's okay to like go back to uni when whatever age you are, you know, and to go back and learn and relearn some skills, learn something new. You don't have to be fresh out of uni, out of school to go to uni.
And you know, that's the thing. I'm just thinking, even in my classes and stuff, there were people in their 50s, and I admire people that go back to study, you know, later in their adult years, like in their 50s and stuff. And I just think that's amazing, and they deserve a lot more recognition than what they kind of get. Like some people can kind of see older ones and go, why, what are they doing here? Like, no, they should be here. They've got even more of a right to be here than you probably do. Yeah. And they struggle though because they haven't come fresh out of school or fresh out of another uni, even in terms of using computers and stuff like that. Like, you know, it can be hard writing word essays and all this sort of stuff. So it's like they need a little bit more support. And the people that are from younger generations who can understand that should be the ones supporting them, in my opinion. Yeah. I'm like, we should be helping them out. Like, they're trying, they're here, they've made it all the way to this. Like, it's a lot easier for younger people to go straight from school into study because you're used to that kind of mindset. But yeah, people that have been working for years or been parents for years, stuck at home and then coming into uni, I'm like, really? Beefy.
And they're usually the ones who like get the good grades too, you know, because they've got like all this experience.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish, man, like I was like, man, I should have just gone with like those older dudes, you know, who like knew what they were doing
straight up,
because they've got the experience. They know, like, they've got the structure, you know, whereas like for us, it's like, I'll do it tomorrow. Whereas these guys are like, man, I got like life to do. So I got to get this done now.
But bro, like one thing I wish, this is a little side note, but one thing that I wish teachers told us, bro, and like this is something that I reckon a lot more young people should know, is that as soon as you, I can't remember if it was 20 or 21, but as soon as you reach one of those two ages, you don't need any of your excellence endorsed results to go do the course that you want to do, you know? And like, I didn't know that until I was 20. Yeah. And I was thinking about doing a youth work degree, and I was like, oh my gosh, you didn't even need like, so all this pressure that they put on you, which like, even for me, like I remember, cause I suck at maths, bro. Like legit, if I put a maths equation in front of me, it may as well be like Russian language writing. Like, I can't read it. And like, I just suck at it. So anyways, I'd try so hard, bro, for tests. And like the last year of school, like last full year, those exams, level two, bro, I studied so hard, like even got tutoring for maths and really felt confident about it and just was like, yo, and then did it and got like 30%. And I was just like, what? I even believed, but I put it down as well to like all this pressure, I believe. But like, bro, all this pressure that got put on us. And like, for me, I felt that pressure real hundies. I don't know if that's just me as a person, but felt
100%.
Felt that pressure like 100, bro. And it kind of scared me a little bit, but I just wish I knew that, you don't even need those, like, unless you want to go straight away. But why wouldn't you want to go have like a couple years, a bit of fun after school, you know? That's how I saw it.
And I just think your mental well-being is so much more important than your grades. Like most of the people, you know, like the rangatahi that I work with are stressed about school. And it's like, no matter how much you tell them that and go, it doesn't actually matter. Like, do well in school, like do as much as you can. But at the end of the day, it's like, doesn't matter. They kind of can't believe you at that point until they kind of grow up and then they go into the real world and they're like, oh, I should have listened. And it's like, I just wish you had listened to me from the start. Because I think, oh, that's one of the things that I don't agree with in terms of school. There's a whole bunch more, but.
I'm exactly the same. Like, I was that kid who was like, man, I need to like strive for all these grades, you know, because I want to get into like uni. And then when you get into uni, you're just like, man, like. No one cares about that here. And then like when you get to work and you're working, it's like, who cares about merit endorsement, excellence endorsement? You know, but then I also think like if I just chilled out a little bit, would I be exactly the same? And you know, like and I kind of understand as well where it's like, you know, strive to be your best. That's not your end all and be all. Like your happiness is not on that result. You know, you can still enjoy and have fun, and you know, at the end of the day, you pass, and you get into what you're doing. Then who cares? You made it. You know,
totally.
And if you don't pass, just do it anyway. Just can't you get into uni once you're a certain age? Isn't it like you don't need? Is it the 22 thing where you don't need university entrance or something?
I think it's at like 21, all you have to do is like write a letter as to why you should be accepted. You don't have to write a 3,000 word essay that you must have gotten excellence for when you were 18. You know, it's like
they just want your money anyway, so
I've got my money. all of my money.
But just like I think this conversation even again reflects on the idea of like just enjoy the process, whatever that process is for yourself. Just enjoy it. Like, you don't know what's going to come up out of nowhere. Like, I didn't know that by going to Bali with my best mate that I was going to have this mad epiphany. I don't know if I would have had it if I stayed, you know, just working the regular 9 to 5, Monday to Friday at the roastery. I don't know if I would have had that epiphany because I was just stuck in like the same rhythm that maybe I wouldn't have. Yeah. But just enjoying it and embracing the unexpected, eh?
Yeah, definitely. And I was just going to say, like, it seems like the thing that's coming out is like being open to change and also just like spontaneity as well.
Yeah.
Like, and it's funny that I bring that up because this morning I was so ready to like go on this like walk, you know, and get up and go. And then plans changed and my mates were just like, oh, well, because I was dead set. I was like, man, I'm going to go outside and walk even in this like crap weather. You know, and then like things change and you got to come up and do something different. And we ended up like just sitting over like a FaceTime calling and catching up. And I was like, yeah, you're not a robot. You don't have to do what robots do. If you say something, you don't have to like, you know, and just being open and embracing that change, you know? And I think that's kind of like, something that's come across to me from your guys' story and your journey, you know, today. How have you guys got to like transition from, or like, as well as doing youth work, where has Up to Aotearoa come from? And like, should we talk about that?
Yeah,
bro. Hard. Do I need to start or?
I can start a little bit.
Hard.
So pretty much it started, well, it's something that we've kind of been thinking about for a while. And it's been one of those things where we're just like, oh, haha, let's start a podcast. Let's start this. And then, and then we just kind of forget about it and talk about something else. Yeah. And then even the first day that we went into lockdown, Jack called me on his way home from Mahi before getting all our like supplies and stuff before we went into level 4. And he was like, we're going to start our podcast now. And then I was like, ha. And again, it was just like a joke. And then we noticed a massive, especially on social media, a massive gap where there just didn't seem to be any enough positive news out there. Like it was all scrolling through our feeds. We didn't even, we didn't even like going on Instagram and scrolling through stuff because everything was so focused on what was happening and everything was so negative.
Amen.
You know, and it was just like, man, this is like exhausting. It should be. Social media should be a fun thing that we can go on and educate ourselves and it can, you know, like you've said, like lift our vibrations and be like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
And then we found ourselves coming off social media feeling worse than we did going on. And we're like, how can something like social media change our whole like mood and stuff like that? I know, especially me, I'm really sensitive to social media stuff. if I'm inundated with negative news, it can like really affect me. And I'm like, it's just my phone. Like I should just turn it off and leave it. But some things you can't escape. Like we still need social media to keep in contact with people over lockdown and to keep informed and stuff around news. But it was just so much negative stuff. So we were like, okay, let's just, we've always been into positivity. We're both youth workers. So we have a lot of tools and knowledge that I think other people can benefit from. But maybe don't have access to in their day-to-day lives. So let's put this out there as an opportunity for people to kind of just shift their focus from negative thinking, put it onto like a fun positivity one. And at the start, we were just doing like TikToks and like all that sort of stuff because we were just like, we're having fun by it. We were super bored because we're working from home as well. So we've had to balance out doing mahi and doing up to. But we were super bored and we're like, this is getting us outside and dancing and moving our bodies. That's great for our, you know, for our well-being. And then we just started doing that a bit more and then started talking about the idea of a podcast. And we were like, okay, let's just, again, spontaneity, let's just buy some microphones, let's buy some gear. And then that'll keep us committed to it because we've spent money on it and it's something we want to do. And then we kind of set everything up and then just went from there. And then we've only recently started getting guests on. And honestly, the community, the positive community that there is on Instagram, yourself included, it's just incredible. Like no one's in competition with each other. Everyone just seems to be so supportive. And I've never, like, again, it gives me goosebumps thinking about it because it's just like, man, we've been able to do what we wanted to do. And that was connect with like-minded people. And we've had that opportunity to do that through up to like doing something that we have fun with, but also, you know, stuff that other people can benefit from.
Harder. Yeah, bro. So pretty much, what Morgan said has really just wrapped it up. Pretty much. And like, I think for me, I wanted to do a podcast for a wee while now. And yeah, just was like, I remember about a month before we went into lockdown, I jokingly like said to Morgan one night, I was like, Bob, if we go back into a lockdown, I reckon, we should start like a YouTube channel and a podcast and like just chat. Cause we have some pretty cool chats. Like once Lucas is in bed or something and we're just watching TV and we just have a conversation about something, some of the things we talk about, it's like, man, imagine how cool it would be if we could capture that in an audio recording and like share it with people. And so, we kind of were just like inspired once lockdown came. It was like, all right, this will keep us busy. We know that we're going to have the time for it. We can just, commit to it. And bro, like this whole process, like I've loved the process of setting this all up, you know, like we've done an awesome job and it's just, it's been a real cool thing to work on together and as a team. And like Morgan says, bro, like the community is out the gate. Like even when you first hit us up, like 2 months ago now or something, like we were like, oh my God, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
We didn't fully open your message at the start because we were like, we like could see it and we're like, oh my gosh, we've been invited to be on a podcast. Like this is, we hadn't even had our podcast set up at that point and we were just like, we're going to be guests on this podcast. This is so exciting. We couldn't believe it. We were like, okay, we need to leave for the night and then come back to it tomorrow morning. We were like, you know, thinking clearly, we were just so overwhelmed by it. And we still get so excited. Like even when you were like, let's do this over, you know, over technology instead of in person, we were like, yes, it's a great start to our Saturday morning sort of thing. Like we still get so excited about it. And then also just to add to what you were saying, we noticed the theme when we were allowed back in person that all of our friends and stuff would have these really deep spiritual meaning conversations when you're on the piss on like a Saturday night sort of thing. And so it's like, obviously people had that inside of them, but they didn't want to bring that out until they had a little bit of push from, you know, whatever. And having the space to do it. So we were like, okay, let's bring, and that's why we want to bring guests and stuff, is let's, people have so much knowledge. Let's bring them on and give them a platform to share it because we learn so much from podcasts ourselves and we just want normal people, you know, like everyday sort of people that people can relate to. And if it helps, you know, one person, job done sort of thing, like that's good for us. So yeah, it's been a journey, but it's been really fun. We've had heaps of fun doing it.
And bro, I'd love, sorry. You go, man.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, bro, I'd also love to know like how the human now came about. Like it seems like it's been around for quite a while now and it's just, how did that come about, bro?
Sweet. All right. Get ready for story time.
Yeah, mean. Let's go.
Take us back to 2018.
Lego, let's go.
Exactly. That's the one. So, like, I've been part of, like, a group of friends who have always been quite driven and, like, opportunities and goal-orientated, you know, and growth-orientated as well.
So,
for, like, 13 years of my life, I grew up as... And like dancing is part of like a Bollywood dance group.
Oh,
man.
Gosh, that's and, so cool.
And yeah, we'd like put on these productions and things like that down at Aotea Square, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And Aotea Theater. And yeah, that was, we'd work like for maybe like a year and a half to 2 years on this production, like a Bollywood show, like a Bollywood movie on stage, you know? And then for one night only, perform.
That's so cool.
And so it's about that. All this work that you're putting in for like one thing.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's so cool.
And the whole thing that I learned through there is like anything is possible, you know, and you can do and you can achieve anything. And like we're able to like design our own sets, our own costume. Like we did everything. Cool. And so instilled from there and then also. So yeah, instilled from there, I like me and another mate, we're kind of into like photo and video and like we liked being behind the camera. So we kind of dabbled into like photography, videography, and we had a couple of mates who were like hip hop dancers. And so we'd spend our like weekends and weeknights like going out and shooting dance videos.
That's so cool, bro.
I'll show you guys some of them after.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that was cool, you know, and I, cause I really like the street. I like hip hop. I like street culture, you know?
Mm.
And so again, there was like creating our own little thing, which branched off the dance school, you know, where we like dance and now we're shooting dance, dances and through video and photo, you know, and then, through that and then also through, out like my own spiritual learning and growth in like Hinduism, I kind of was learning how to be and figuring out who I am as a human being, you know? And then like, as you do, you go through relationships with people and then like when relationships end, you're like, you attach your identity to those things and you go through this thing where you're just like, who am I?
Mm.
Like, why am I, yeah, what am I doing? You know, like, is my world ending?
Yeah, you know?
And that's where the questions came, where it's like, what does it mean to be human? Like, why am I here? What am I doing? And that's where I kind of went back and started re-looking into myself and who I was, who my identity was. What am I here to do and why am I here to be?
Awesome. You know?
And it was only with like the help of like my mentors and my friends who are part of the dance school who are like, man, like there's a lot of things that we've grown up with that we just need to unlearn. So it's like a process of unlearning a lot of things and asking questions. And so then I was like, okay, well, I've got these two questions. What does it mean to be human and what does it mean to be now? So maybe let's like, and so I was studying architecture at the time and as well as like designing buildings, we'd be using all these like pretty much the whole Adobe suite, you know, like Photoshop, InDesign, Illustrator, and we'd be creating our own presentations. So I kind of knew how to use those softwares as well.
Main.
So it's like, sweet, I'll make myself a book.
Cool.
On like what it means to be human and what it means to be now. And I'll like have this questionnaire that I go and ask all these people, you know, and I did. And I went and asked them and I got these things back. And it was pretty cool to read what people written.
Awesome.
And it kind of wasn't like the right medium. It kind of just dropped off.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, that's that. And then it transformed and went to like interviewing people. So we'd like wake up in the like early morning of like early hours of like Saturday and Sunday mornings and head out to like Ponsonby Road.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'd just like set up a camera and a couple of seats and stuff and just try and get people who are stopping by, you know, be like, oh, do you want to come and like have a little bit of an interview?
Yo.
Oh, I love it.
And and would try and, like, these are people who have just, like, made, some of them probably just had, like, a rough night, or some of them are just, you know, enjoying their morning walk, and then they're being asked about, like, what does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be now?
Someone's like, on the way home from town, they like, bro, exactly. Come down for a
chat. I don't even know.
They're like these really confronting, like, big life questions. And like, we got some interviews, you know, and but again, it just seemed like it was just like a lot of effort and hard work to do something and not getting that thing that felt right.
Yeah.
And so that then it stopped. And then we're just sitting at like a cafe one night, and then my mate, he was just like, oh, why don't you do a podcast? You know, and I was like, oh, what's a podcast? I've never like listened to one.
Yeah.
I didn't even know anything about a podcast. And then he's like, yeah, we'll just do a podcast, you know, like, are you free next week? And I was like, okay, sweet. I'm free, and then we've got all the gear around us.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Let's just turn up and make it happen. What are we going to talk about? Don't worry, we'll just figure it out when we get there.
Oh, that's awesome.
So he's like, okay, so who's going to be on it? And he's like, oh, you can be on it. I'll be on it. And one of our other mates, he can be behind the scenes. He can record it. And then another two of, so the other one was like another one of our mates and my sister, my younger sister.
Cool.
And so the four of us are like around this table just trying to figure out like what this thing. And so we just started with like, what does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be now? And like, where did this all come from? And pretty much from like May until about October, we sat in this room just recording and practicing like this podcast.
That's so cool.
Until we're like, okay, well, we in that time, we also built a set. Got the gear as well, because we're like, okay, well, we've been doing it for this time, so let's invest a little bit into it.
Yeah.
And start building the set. So like through contacts at work and stuff, I was able to suss some stuff that you see back here. We invested into some of the gear through like the video stuff we were doing, and then that was the Human Now started. And so the four of us would all get together every like Wednesday, we'd record, and we'd just talk about smack, you know, like, I don't know what we were talking about. We're just like, look at us. We're like on this podcast and recording ourselves. And, but like deep down within, I was like, nah, there's still like something missing. Something's not feeling right to me, you know, like, and that was that purpose. And also, like, between that, life happens as well, and you're like going up, you know, like, I got to focus more on study and work, you know, and things get put on the back burner. And I was like completely fine with it. I was just like, this is just like another outlet for me to express, you know? And then it wasn't until I got everything set up here at home, where it was just like more just me and I started interviewing guests and getting people on, where it's like, okay, what am I actually like speaking about? And what is the whole thing behind this? And then that's when I came across Fraser Group, and he's got a project called the 10,000 Dreams Project.
Oh, yeah.
No.
And he's like, I'm on a mission to capture 10,000 dreams.
But...
And then I was like, okay. You know, like, that's a huge, like, massive task and a massive purpose to amplify the noise around how important it is to dream and capturing 10,000 dreams. Like, this guy's ending this thing when he's like 50, 60 years old, you know?
Holy.
And like,
crazy.
And he's doing that every day. And so it's like, what am I doing? Like, is my purpose like too small? And like, what is my purpose? And then it was like, I know what my purpose is. And then going through, and that only came from like what you guys are saying, is going through life where you're kind of not in and around the right crowd. Everything you're seeing is, it can be quite a negative world out there if that's all you're focusing on, you know, and the stuff you're seeing on social media, and is like, man, there's so much negativity, so much negativity. Then why can't I be like a little beacon of light? You know, why can't I bring a little bit of light into this world, a little bit of positivity?
Yeah.
And then that's where the purpose came. Why can't we lift the vibration of positivity and have positive conversations? And then everything kind of started aligning. Mm. You know, like I aligned the podcast with my work. So now, like, the person that I want to create and the person I want to be is I want to be about having positive conversations and creating positive spaces.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. If we space influences who we are as people, and we as people design spaces. So it kind of works in this, like, this back and forth kind of way.
Yeah.
And then after that, it became pretty easy that the human now is about having positive conversations and lifting the vibration. And then that's where I am now, you know, I've kind of been on this on and off journey, like trying to figure out or like trying to balance like work, because I still want to like master that side of life as well. And then master this side of the podcast. So my journey's kind of been up and down, where at times I haven't been able to be consistent in terms of putting stuff out, but internally that learning is still always there, you know, and taking in stuff, learning stuff. Oh, maybe I want to change this. But just through this lockdown, I think I've just been able to just take a step back and be like, actually, what do I want to prioritize now? You know, what's important to me, and who is the person that I want to become? And it's funny that it comes down to a lot of like mental barriers that you put up.
Yeah.
Like with the way that I've got the studio set up, there's like a camera that's sitting back there. And then, like, if you guys have seen like the typical setup, we sit on a couple of seats at the back, you know?
Yep.
And so there's this like, and my computer and all the tech setup is like located off onto the side, further at the back as well. So like, if I had to do this recording sitting there, I'd have you guys over here, the camera over there, me sitting back there. And I was like away from everything.
Right.
And that, like, mentally, like if I really want to do it, I could have done it. But mentally I was like, nah, I don't like this, you know? And then it took for me to like move some of the set to like here. I'm standing up. I'm active. I've got the camera set up on the desk now. I've got you guys right there. Like, I've now changed my environment to help me be who I want to be.
Yeah.
And being now I feel like I'm living up to that purpose and lifting that vibration even more.
Oh, it's so cool. Wow,
that's so cool, bro.
That's a story.
That's really like inspiring, eh? And I love that, bro. That's such a cool story. And I was actually like reflecting on what you were saying there at the end around your environment, because this book that I'm reading at the moment, bro, oh my gosh, they talk on that massively in terms of changing your environment to like enable you to be able to step into that figure, that person you want to be. And it's funny you actually say that now, because I just finished a chapter on that where that was sort of the main focus. And Becoming Supernatural by Dr. Joe Dispenza is the book, if anyone's wondering. But that's awesome, bro. That's so cool. And like, even cool for me to see that you're like a living example of like, I did this with my environment and now I'm able to do this. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, man. And like, especially because like, as wanting to be an architect, you know, that's like my job. And it's so stupid, like, of myself to like, I do this for other people, try and make their environments better. Yeah. And then like, I just forgot about my own.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Which is
easy
to
like do. How we were talking about before, like, you know, cleaning up your space, like, you really need to just take control of your own environment. And if you need to create an enabling environment, positive enabling environment, then you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro.
And it's so hard to, at first, to let go of that thing that's comfortable, you know, and then change it up. And here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's cool. I do feel inspired.
Yeah, that's so cool, man. Love that.
But yeah, it's definitely been like a bit of a journey, you know, like I'm sure you guys would have seen like battling with social media and wanting to and not wanting to participate and just changing my mind frame and mindset around that has kind of helped big time.
I think as well, you can kind of, well, for myself, I can tell on people's Instagrams whether they're in it for the clout and for the followers and for that sort of stuff, or whether they're actually there for their own purpose in order to influence other, you know, other people's lives in a positive way. And that's what I noticed in on your Instagram. It just seemed to come from such a genuine, authentic place. And like, we had never met you before, and we'd never even spoken in person, well, in person over the camera, you know, until today. But that came across already in the stuff that you put out. You're like 100 days of positivity. We were like, that's such an amazing idea. And now we know firsthand how hard it is to keep that consistency up. Like, you know, we're like, we've got all this stuff in our head, but to put it into content, we're just like, there can sometimes be a block. Some days you just don't feel like it. But it just seemed like
100%.
Yeah, but it just seemed like all of your content, whether it be consistent or not, like you couldn't even tell, because it was just such good things coming from it that it didn't matter whether you posted every day. We didn't notice if you didn't post, you know, but not because we didn't care about you, but because it was like the stuff that you did post, we were still buzzing off that it didn't need to be heaps and heaps of info. It was just like we were happy with what we had. But yeah, I just wanted to kind of toe talk with you and be like, wow, that was that your authenticity comes through on the stuff that you put out. And that's a massive inspiration for us as well, to just be ourselves, not worry too much about what, you know, logistical Instagram wants in terms of views and all that sort of stuff. It was just like, we just want to get our message out there. So yeah, I just want to just put my butt in.
Thanks. Yeah. No, I really appreciate that. And like, likewise, I think like seeing the content and stuff you guys are putting out has definitely like enabled me to be like just comfortable. It's like seeing you guys being authentically yourselves. I'm like, sweet, you know, like I can be that too.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, look at us all helping each other.
Yeah, man. And I think that's what I love about like this community that we're creating as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just like everyone's just on this heading in this one direction of lifting that vibration.
Mm. Yeah.
And let's all like do it together, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like the bro from Better Than Before, like he's the man too. Sam. Like Sam, man, like I feel like it's just again, like he's another person within that community that for us is just like, man, it's so cool to be a part of. Mm. And for like all us three to be bouncing off each other. And like, that's one thing that I noticed in the coffee space as well, is like when we would do big meetings with other roasteries and like have Atomic and All Press and us and like Rocket, like all these like different brands would come together. But I was real shocked the first time I saw these meetings take place, because Atomic would like, actually, no, I don't want to speak on behalf of the company, but like, a roastery.
No, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Might get myself in trouble.
Voice in the rep.
Yeah. But like, I noticed that everyone was not like shying away from letting them know, like, oh, this was our little secret that we found, that if you do this roast in this way for this long, you produce, you know. And like, it was awesome seeing that. And then just like this, space, bro. Like, it's so cool that, you know, I feel really charged up even just right now from this conversation we've had, bro. I feel real like electric and alive. I just, I feel on.
We're gonna go to the barbecue and just be like trying to change everyone's
life. You guys are gonna feel like energized and buzzy, harder bunnies.
They'll be like, it's raining. We'll be like, bro, but that's so special, right? Nah, it's so positive for the grass, my G. Like, it's gonna grow fast as, bro. Plus humidity, oh, blessing. Nah. Oh,
oh man, that was. Do you guys find that you guys go through like these highs and lows of like so much energy? You know, you're like full of
straight
this
up.
And then like as soon as you're like finish, you're like decline.
We're both quite hype sort of people to each other. Like, we'll be like, oh my god, I'm so excited. Cool. And the other person's like, yeah, so am I. And then especially after like podcasts and stuff, we seem to be on this high. And then even if it does taper down, if we start talking about it again, we're like, oh, that was so cool. You know, just bring it up again. And we're like, okay, we probably need to relax a little bit, because if we are in contact with other people that aren't part of that space, it can come off as quite intense. Because like, you weren't there, you weren't there. You know, it's like how fun it was. But even like after our interview with Rans the other day, like we still, if it comes up, we still both get these looks in our faces and we're like, oh, and I know we will for this as well. Like after this, we're going to high five each other and be like, that was so fun, you know, like I don't want it to end sort of thing. So it's just bringing positivity to us, as well as hopefully sharing some gems with, you know, listeners and stuff as well. Kind of everyone wins. It's just like,
yeah.
It's cool. It's a great feeling.
I remember we woke up this morning, bro, and I was like, oh, today's the day, you know, like, and then she was like, oh, you're hard. And I was like, oh, shucks, I got to get up because I slept in a bit fast. And we were like, oh gosh, yeah. I don't want to be like in a rush till too much. But yeah, very like, I was like, oh, cool.
Oh, cool, man. And like this, the same here, you know, like usually I'm like so nervous about a podcast and like making sure I get the intros right, get the discussion right. And for some reason, like it was just completely different today where I was just like, I don't necessarily know what we're talking about, you know, and, but I know what you guys are about, you know, and I know that our values and our purposes align. Then let's just go for it, and let's just get in. If like, you know, trust in that flow, tap into that flow, and like, oh my gosh, like I'm filled with so much like energy and buzz and like so much warmth.
Because
it's just been, oh my, it's just been like such an experience.
Yeah, bro, hard. And oh man, imagine what it's going to be like when we can be in person.
I love how we're all just sitting 100. Here smiling as well.
Like, yeah, giving each other all like the warm fuzzies, eh? Yeah, it's a pretty special thing.
I hope.
Sorry, you go, bro.
Sorry,
you
go. Go ahead.
Oh man, look at us, we're just too nice to each other. But I think as well, like, I was just going to say that I feel like real special that we can even experience something like this in a time like now, you know, like being locked down in these restrictions. Yeah, they've eased a bit, but like still it's pretty handies. And to be able to like fill each other's cup up virtually like this is so cool within itself.
100%. 100%. And I was going to say as well, is like us being here filled up, like we've lifted the vibration so much. I just like if you're listening and you're still here, if you're watching, I hope this is like coming out to you.
Yeah,
I hope that like you're receiving these, like it's just this warmth, man. I'm on a buzz, man.
I hope they're sitting there watching this just also being like
yeah, or like, man, these guys are crazy.
Yeah, I know. These guys like each other way too much.
No, it's so cool.
It's amazing. It's such a cool feeling. And now I feel like usually the weather brings me down. Like when it's raining, you know, you feel a bit more like, flat maybe. But bro, today I'm just charged. Yeah. I'm alive. This is awesome.
Have you guys got plans for the day apart from the like barbecue where you guys are going to be 100?
Yeah. No, so they live quite far away, so we live way out west, right. They live way up on the coast, so it's about an hour's drive. Hopefully we don't go into any gridlocks on the way or anything like that, but we shall see. So it's going to take us about an hour and a half to get there, and then we just haven't seen anyone this entire lockdown, so I'm, and it's like kind of my friend group who Jack's become a part of, but I'm just buzzing to see them, have that human connection again in person, because we've had like quiz nights and stuff like that, but it isn't the same as being in person. They're putting on a minkai too, so I'm quite excited for that. Cool. So I think we're going to be there for most of the day.
Yeah.
And then, just kind of...
cruise home and chill.
Cruise home, watching TV.
Yeah.
Do you guys find that you need like constant human connection and human energy?
We're kind of different in that way, because I'm quite a social person. I love being around people. Right. And being around people really energizes me.
Yeah, for me, I'm like, I like to be around people, but like I'm very okay with just chilling at home. And like if people want to come over into my space, that's cool. But like, I think for me, like I feel like with you, bub, you can go pretty much into any social situation, no matter like how you're feeling, and you'll feel real like alive from it. But for me, it's real. Like if I already feel a bit depleted from my day or something, like, I won't go around and chill as much. Like I think some of my bros probably go around to like our other bros' flats more than me, just because, I'm quite like, I like being at home, but I definitely like to socialize. But I'd say, like, I'm a Cancer, bro, so I like to crawl up in my little shell, you know, in my little crab shell, and stay in my safe place. But yeah, I'm definitely like keen on a massive party though, bro, once we can. I'm really looking forward to like a mean house party. I feel like that's gonna be real. That's us, bro.
We'll just be sitting by ourselves the whole time, yarning in the corner.
There's self invites.
Bro, we'll just do a podcast at the party.
Sweet, sounds good.
That's mean. Get some people to come through.
Yeah.
But how about you, bro?
I think I kind of mix between a bit of both. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there is definitely that group of friends or that people I like to vibe with. I like to be around them.
Mm. Yep.
You know, and otherwise if I am at home, then I'm completely fine being at home, focusing on my own stuff, getting my own stuff done.
Yeah.
You know, being around that energy as well. So depending on how I'm feeling, my temperament is, you know, cause like for me, sometimes it does take a lot of energy to be like, oh yeah, let's go to a party and get dressed up and you know, like other days it's like, yo, let's go, you know, let's get around people, you know, the people that I love, the people that I want to, you know, that have that energy on them, and you know, they lift you up and fill your cup, like you guys are saying as well.
Hard up.
And especially when you can, like, when you're around those people, you can have conversations like this, you know, and it's just real.
Yeah.
You know, like, how are you feeling? You know, what's making you happy? Mm. Having those types of conversations, you know, or what are you struggling with in life?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I like having those conversations. So definitely I'm a bit of both, but I think more than often I like swing to the Jack side and just being in my...
Yeah. So even when I'm in my shell, I'm still like on my group chat talking to my girls, you know, like constantly. Yeah. And I'm like, we're going to see each other in like an hour, but I'm like, I just love being with people. It just excites me. And I love like classic love getting dressed up to go out, you know, like I'm like, it was like, 8 o'clock in the morning and I'm already wearing makeup and I'm like, let's go, let's, you know, ready for the day sort of thing. And then when I have to be quiet and alone, I'm like, oh, at least I'm not fully alone. I've got Jack here. But
yeah.
It's all part of it.
Yeah. I think for me, just real quick, I felt like I got a sense of this from you, bro. Is one thing for me is like, and we were actually talking about this the other day, but knowing like, within your friend circle, knowing if you want to get a bit wild and freaky, you go to this bro or you go to those bros and maybe suggest that us lot go out. Or unless, you know, you're looking for like a bit more of a chill and maybe like dive into a deep yarn with a bro, you know, you kind of know what mates are going to do that for you and what role they play as your friend. And so I think that's something that I've found really important for me is like, if I go to a mate who's always down for a party and a good time when I'm not really like on that buzz at you know, that day, then it won't be a very joyful, my cup probably won't really get filled up because it's not what I need. So I just think that's like, that was something that we were discussing the other day. That's super important to like, to know that about your mates. Cause, that's right. Cause we were talking about like attachment styles and stuff, bro. And by like understanding like love languages and all that sort of thing that, that can really help your relationship, whether that's with your, an intimate partner or, you know, whānau or friends or whoever, if you know, like the way that they receive love and give love and do all of that, that kind of just led us into that yarn of, you gotta know who, what bro, you know, is good for a time or a moment.
It just unlocks everything and makes everything like the game so much easier. Mm. Right? When you just know like this person, like if I can just spend a little bit of time with them, you know, or make something and make them, that's going to make them feel special, you know? And like, 100%. I totally vibe with that. And I also just want to say, like, I really love how you guys have this little like reflective, like everything that we've been talking about, you guys reflect on it again, like you guys two times reflect and like, I'm like, man, these guys have got the learnings, you know? I love that about you guys, man. It's really cool.
I think that's, I think we've learned that from Mahi really. Cause even in our conversations, like you'd actually crack up if you just heard our conversations, even around stuff like who's going to vacuum or whatever, we end up, you know, like having a discussion and then getting really deep into it, being like, I'd love to hear what you're saying. You're kind of, are you saying, you know, like it's, our communication is just almost too good where it's just like, we'll take an hour to unpack something that could have just been like brushed away. Yeah. But we're like, thank you for sharing that. And then, you know, like I want to acknowledge this and it's just like, oh, we're
too. Work for us might be a nightmare for others. Eh?
Yeah, nobody would want to listen to us, but it works. But thank you. That's really nice.
Is there anything that you guys want to talk about or feel like that I haven't asked or you guys have any questions, you know?
I don't know. I feel like for me, when I have these conversations with people, I just like genuinely believe that it's going to flow the way it was meant to. And everything that was spoken about was spoken for a reason. And yeah, I'm kind of in that buzz of like, however the convo goes, whatever comes, whatever goes is the right thing. And so, yeah, I'm not too sure. To be honest, bro, I've actually got like such a full cup right now that I'm just like feeling, I feel like whole. I'm like, yeah, nah, this has just been such a sick convo. Like anything added to it is just a bonus. Because yeah, I just feel like we've like gassed each other up so much that we just feel on.
Well, that was actually going to be my reflection because I was like, I don't have a question, but all I want to say is, yeah, just thank you for having us on here and like giving us a chance to kind of be on the other side of the mic and share our stuff. And thank you for just being so calming and chilling, even saying at the beginning, like, this is just like having a coffee with, you know, a mate sort of thing. You put us at ease. You've taken away all of our nerves.
Totally.
And just, yeah, the mahi that you're doing online, just keep doing it. Don't stop because it's impacting people. And we felt it from the very beginning. So it's like, oh, probably other people are feeling the same way. You probably get that sort of feedback all the time. But yeah, we just fully support what you're doing. We just, yeah, really appreciate your work.
And we need to get you on our podcast as well, bro. We'd really, really love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Just let me know. Cool. I'm ready anytime.
Nice. For sure, bro. That'll be amazing.
Cool. So before we round up, there's always these two questions we love to end with. It is our purpose, everything we are, everything we do, and lifting this vibration. So for you guys, Jack and Morgan, what does it mean to be human?
Should I start? Okay. What it means to be human for me is, I'd say, like, being human is being able to, like, embrace what comes on in your life, you know, whatever challenges, whatever blessings, whatever, like, really cool, whatever really uncool things happen within your life, to learn that, you know, that this is a process and everything comes in for a reason. And I'd say, yeah, for me to be human and to live that to its fullest is to just like embrace life. Like, I really just, yeah, think like embrace life. Yo.
Cool.
How are you, bud?
Nice.
Morgan?
To be human is, to me, like connection to self and connection to others. I think being human, we've got so many opportunities because we are able to use our brains to think and use our, you know, hands and stuff to move. I think that we should be taking that opportunity that we've got as literally being human and using that as a way to impact other people and impact ourselves and just learn to, learn a little bit more about ourselves. And the more we learn about others, the more we can empathize with different situations, which will all round make it make a better connection, make us better humans. Cool question.
Definitely. Thank you so much for sharing that. And for you guys, what does it mean to be now?
I think what it means to be now for me is to, everything that you're doing to embrace being human and then also embracing the factor of the now, and the now is, you know, the present moment and all of that sort of stuff. And I know a lot of people say it's like real cliche, the whole like live in the present moment and things like that, but I genuinely reckon like so many of us are living in the past or living in a future state where we're like, just so caught up in what could be happening and what might come our way and all these assumptions of the future or potentially things that are keeping you trapped in the past. Just to sort of keep yourself in check and to try and bring yourself back to the present moment as much as you can, because you don't know what might go right in front of your eyes, an opportunity or something that you might miss just because you were so stuck in the past or future. So that'll be my insight for that.
Nice.
Cool.
For me, being now is doing what we can do now in order to be good tupuna, to be good ancestors for our younger generation. So it's like making that change now, doing what we can within our scopes, and everyone's scope is different. But just making that little bit of impact so that people in future generations can benefit from it. And it doesn't need to just be people either, like the environment, the planet, doing what you can now in order to keep the planet in a, you know, in a nice state, in order for our rangatahi and, you know, mokopuna to kind of benefit from that. So that's my thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice, bud.
Thanks. You're like, I really like what you said there.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Oh man, you guys are just amazing, and I really appreciate, you know, the conversation we've had today has just been so genuine, and like, I don't care who listens to this, yeah. You know, like the fact that we got to speak to each other and just have a good catch up and a yarn, yeah. You know, like that's filled my cup up today. And you guys, like, I can already see the warmth being, the warmth coming out of you guys, you know, that warmth and the love, man. And that's filled me up today. So I just want to say thank you so much, you know, for coming on and sharing who you guys are and just being open and being so human.
Honestly, you know, bro.
And
it's an honor.
I'm just grateful.
Oh, bro, we are so grateful. And this has just been like the best way to start a Saturday and the best way to start a weekend. And like, I think the best way for us to start, you know, the relationship between our two platforms and between us just as humans, bro. Mm-hmm. I think this is it's just been such a beautiful, like, blessing to have.
100%. 100%. Where can people find you guys and follow your journey, everything you guys are about? Where can we find you?
So pretty much the easiest will be Instagram, at Up to Aotearoa. You can find us on there, find us on Spotify, as the Up to podcast, and catch us on YouTube as well. But if you want to get in touch, come jump on the Instagram. There's a link tree there where you can email us or whatever, DM,
You just can't go on Apple Music, though, because I can't remember my password. So until we've reset that, we can't find us on Apple Music.
We'll be on the Apple podcast soon.
So find us on Spotify.
Cool. And, I just want to say again, thank you so much for bringing your positivity, your energy, your humanness to the conversation today and just sharing the love. I want to thank you for tuning in, whether you're listening, whether you're watching. Thank you so much for being here, and I hope that there was something in our discussion today that helped to lift the vibration of positivity in your day and in your life as well. And we only ask that if you feel like there is someone else who you think will benefit from what we've talked about, that you just share it forward. We're all about lifting and sharing the vibration of positivity here. If there's anything you feel like we could talk about to improve our conversation, improve the work that we're doing, just get in touch with us at info@thehumanhour.co.nz. And until next time, be human, be now.
Aww. Yeah. Beautiful, brother.
What a clap.
That's so good.
That was, you know, I just want to be like, yay!
That's so
that was mean.